the practitioner or doctor would observe. And so observation of that story tells you exactly where people are. To listen and to honor somebody in that process gives us a lot of clues on where they are in their illness, but also where they are in their possible recovery.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Autoimmune Hour. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, from SharonSaylor.com. And it's always a pleasure to be with you here Friday night at 7 p.m. I just find it such a delightful way to start my weekend. And I am, as you know, one of the most curious people about all sorts of things. And I've got a really fun weekend planned. I'm going to be spending it with my granddaughter. So I'm like, okay, fasten your seatbelt, right? It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't get to spend a lot of time with her because I travel so much. So when we do get to spend time together, she's young, and so she's a real bundle of energy. I know I just have to mentally and emotionally and physically prepare for those times that I get to spend with her. So that's what I'm doing, that I just know I'm just going to have nothing but unbridled joy this weekend. So that's what I'm doing. I hope you're doing something equally fun. And right now, I'm curled up with that favorite green tea of mine that the beautiful person from London sent me, that jasmine green tea. It is so smooth. I love it. It's just a nice, refreshing feeling to it. And the smell. Remember, I've told you about the smell. You could almost use it as sort of like a sachet in your dresser drawers. It just smells so good. So I could just sit here and sniff it while we talk. And tonight I'm bringing you something really special. She was introduced to me from a mutual friend, and that's what I love. All you listeners out there, send me, well, have you talked to so-and-so, or you have talked to this person, or have you had this type of expert on? And quit having you in suspense about what we're talking about tonight, because tonight we've got Dr. Tanya G. She inspires her patients to seek health and wellness through the holistic practices of traditional Chinese medicine. And as a graduate of the International College of Traditional Chinese Medicine in Vancouver, BC, she completed her postgraduate studies and clinical practice in, I hope I pronounce this right, Hefei in Shanghai, China. Tanya holds the highest rank of her profession in the province of British Columbia as a registered doctor of traditional Chinese medicine. And she's going to share more of her bio with us about how she just loves to treat muscular and skeletal pain and discomfort was her first passion. And then she quickly realized that the body was much, much more complex than she thought. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. I think we all learned that at some point. And so she became fascinated by the mind-body connection and how your being in this world ultimately affects all that we are. So thank you so much, Dr. Tanya, for being on the show, because anybody that's listened to the show for very long knows that I'm a firm believer that it's about the whole of you, not just your body and what you might be feeling physically. So welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. What a delight. I feel incredibly honored and really excited to share some of my knowledge with you and everyone who's listening. So thank you again.
Oh, this is great. Why don't you just give us a brief little, what is traditional Chinese medicine? And I think people might think, well, is that acupuncture? Is that herbs? Well, give us a little brief primer on what is traditional Chinese medicine.
That's a great question. I hear it all the time. I've been in practice for 22 years now. And when I was younger, first starting in my practice, I would go to networking events and people would say that. They would look at my badge and they would say, what's TCM? And I would say traditional Chinese medicine. And they said nutritional medicine. And then I said traditional Chinese medicine. And then I would say something funny. I said, you know, have you heard of tiger, like, you know, tiger penis or bear gallbladder? And they would look at me and they go, really, you use that? I go, not at all. And so people have heard about it. I don't use it. I'm pretty much vegan in terms of my herbology. So traditional Chinese medicine is the practice of acupuncture. I do traditional Chinese herbs, which are all vegan source. And I also do something called cupping, which I believe the past Olympics made popular. Those little big suction cup marks. I do that as well.
Looked like he'd been attacked by an octopus.
Exactly. A big one. I do a little bit of that. But mostly what I do, Sharon, is I hold space for people, because everyone, everybody, not just me, you, everybody has a story to tell. And that story, which is our history and who we are in this world, makes up how we feel. So every illness and disease is a representation of that. And so with traditional Chinese medicine is honoring who we are as we show up in this world. And it is using the treatment of acupuncture, traditional herbs, a lot of listening and supporting to create treatment plans for people to be optimal and balanced. So balance is the key. That's what I do. It's fun. After 22 years, I still never get tired of it. And I'm constantly impressed with results.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
It's ancient. Thousands of years old, Sharon. Ancient.
To me, I do use traditional Chinese medicine. And I'm always saying anything that has survived these thousands and thousands of years has some really great wisdom to it. If it wasn't useful and if it wasn't working, it wouldn't survive thousands and thousands of years. Mm-hmm. This is my view of it.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm completely, complete state of gratitude towards this medicine and the philosophies behind it.
You mentioned several things, and I don't know where to start with my questions because you mentioned several things. But the first one, I want to be sure and talk a little bit about when you said everybody has a story to tell. And in my other life, where I do communications consulting and communications training, one of the things that I always listen for are, where are they in their story? And I'm always listening now. Are they in the early stages of reliving their story when they're telling me? Are they in that stage of renegotiating, which comes after the initial shock and you're in the reliving part? And are they renegotiating it? Are they retelling me the story? And then oftentimes after I get to that point, they're revising the story. And to me, that's always explains to me when I'm listening to people's histories about their autoimmune and they go into their story, I'm like, where are they in the story? Because it tells me where they're emotionally at in the story too. Do you find that to be true in your story?
Oh, I love you, Sharon. I love you. That's exactly what I do. That's exactly it. Chinese medicine, being thousands of years old, they didn't have ultrasounds. They didn't have blood tests. So the practitioner or doctor would observe. And so observation of that story tells you exactly where people are. And a lot of them are unconscious. They don't know.
Right.
So to listen and to honor somebody in that process gives us a lot of clues on where they are in their illness, but also where they are in their possible recovery.
Oh, yes, that's absolutely important when I'm listening to people and their stories. You can tell, are they ready? Have they gone through the process? It's similar to grieving. It's a process. We all go through it. Are they at that point when they are ready to accept other ideas, accept other input, accept other information? And it really comes to a point of where when they've had been listened to with honor and respect and someone holding the space, which is my next question for you.
Exactly. That's the next step, isn't it? Holding the space for people to be heard. And that in itself is a great catalyst for change.
Now, describe how you hold the space for someone, because I know there might be a few listeners going, what do you mean hold the space?
Oh, thank you for that. In my practice, first of all, it's time. Traditionally in Western medicine, when you see your MD, you get maybe, 10 minutes?
If you're lucky.
Yeah. And in Canada, I believe you're only allowed to bring up one thing. That's it. If you have more than one thing, you need to book more time. with your MD. I feel for MDs because how can you wholly care for your patient if that's the time restraint you have?
So I just want to take a little rabbit hole here for a second. It's shocking to me, but true here in the States as well, because oftentimes your symptoms are intertwined. It's just not, here's a salve for your rash, come back for your indigestion later.
Right. And they're all interconnected, aren't they? For sure. Chinese medicine understands these patterns. But back to the holding space, I completely believe it's, you have to offer a patient time and space. My appointments are long. Everyone's there at least an hour and 15 minutes, possibly an hour and a half every time they come. And the, you know, what I do is I just, first of all, listen. And as they listen, I just be present and be conscious, honoring. And everyone, you give them that safety, the voice comes out, the emotions come out, even for the men. You know, I don't think men are used to that level of attention.
Oh, I absolutely agree to that. They might almost be in a little bit of shock or surprise.
Mm-hmm. And when they're in pain or ill, they have repeated their symptoms to other doctors. By the time people come see me, Sharon, as a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine, we are working towards being mainstream, but we're still one of the alternative doctors. So when I see people come to me, I'm either their last resort or they've already tried so many other things. So they're used to telling me what's happening in their lives. They've already talked to other people about their symptoms. So when I sit there and listen to them and then inquire other questions that they've never been asked before, because like you and I know, with autoimmune disorder, everything's connected. So when they do say, you know, I have this gastrointestinal condition and I'm getting migraines, and then I'll say, tell me more about your bowels. Tell me more about how you're sleeping. Tell me about what you're craving in foods. Tell me about your coffee intake. Tell me about are you irritable? How are you feeling? All these questions. So patients get that you care. Patients get that there is hope. So to hold space for someone means offering them the time, the respect of listening, the inquiry, and the compassion. Mm-hmm. Without compassion and gentleness, I don't think we can do medicine well. I think everyone who comes to you is vulnerable. So to hold space requires compassion and honor.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love that. And I think by the time that people start seeking out, as we'll just put them in a large basket, alternative types of care, that a lot of them are so tired of telling their story, or they have been mocked or shamed or poo-pooed, or that I imagine it might be more of a digging process or an unraveling process to get to the whole story at a certain point. I know when I started going through at the height of it, the litany of my symptoms, it was almost embarrassing. I didn't want to appear a hypochondriac.
Mm-hmm. So did you have doctors tell you it's all in your head?
Oh, all in my head, or it's just an allergy, quit using your perfume. I mean, they had no clue, and they were wanting to offer me simple, like, oh, you know, quit using perfume, it's just an allergy, or... One particular symptom I was repeating over and over and over again for about 5 years. And once I found someone that would help me unravel the whole story, it immediately became apparent to them, oh, what I'll say, the major knot that needed to be unraveled for the rest of the healing to happen.
Well, that's a beauty of Chinese medicine, Sharon, is because all of those odd and possibly insignificant symptoms are important. In a consultation, we do fact finding, right? So if I were to see you, I'd be curious. I want to know everything. I want to know the history. I want to know all of the symptoms. I want to know the most crazy things. Like, let's take a look at your nails. What's your nails doing? That tells me a lot. Let's look at your eyes. Let's look at your ears. I'm observing the bodily symptoms, the breath. Does the breath smell? Is there flatulence? We go into great detail because that tells us how the body is processing. And you and I were talking about this four levels of being, which is really important. in Chinese medicine, we understand that a person's not just flesh and blood. There, of course, there's the biology, right? But the biological or physical aspect of you. But Chinese medicine also understands the complexity of emotions and how emotions will affect the body. And on top of that, what we call the mental or intellectual aspect. And then there's the elusive, which is the spiritual aspect of the being. So the physical or biological, emotional, intellectual, and the spiritual. It's the four levels of being. You and I both know we can't just treat one. We have to look at the person as a whole, right? And you know what's even more interesting as women, our being, it is, I don't want to use the word challenged, it is altered by hormones, where we are in our life, our monthly cycle, things like that, can exacerbate autoimmune conditions. So, you know, I treat mostly women in my practice, a small percentage of men, and the autoimmune patients that I do see, of course, if they are younger women going through menstrual cycles, we see a spike in symptoms around the cycle. Women who are perimenopausal, menopausal, postmenopausal will have different flare-ups. So it's amazing.
And that's one thing that's interesting to me in Western med is, let's say we'll go to a specialist who isn't familiar or doesn't take into account where a female is just in the monthly cycle, but in the phases of her life. That's never brought up.
Mm. Like,
where are you?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I can see, just knowing, reflecting back over my life, yeah, I am big differences in how I approached everything, not just my health, but everything, and in those different phases of my life, as well as the monthly cycle of my life. Fascinating.
Oh, yeah. We have to honor that. Absolutely. I know that's a key word today, honor, but if we don't respect that in our bodies, how are we going to treat it? We have to think of it as being very important. Mm-hmm. Oh, all bodies are important, of course.
Right. And all four parts of us are too. And one of the things you brought up was this emotional. I wanted to get your reflections for a minute, because when we say the word emotional, I think a lot of people think of the here and now, like, oh, I'm fine right now. But what about those emotional landmines from our past where, just a quick story, one time I went on a blind date, and I always say my little theory about blind dates are that your friends are blind.
That's a good one,
Sharon. It's like, yeah, what were you thinking? But anyway, I remember it very clearly that this person is sitting down for a meal, and something very critical came out of their mouth. And it reminded me, it triggered me right back to my past and a situation from my mid-adolescence. I was actually seeing the other person's, that triggers person's face on this new person I had just met. It was just instantaneously back to that emotional landmine had been triggered. And how often, luckily I was, look, quick there, I was just like, thank you very much, I'll see you later.
You know? Oh my goodness.
Thanks, but no thanks, and I left, because I'm like, this isn't going to work. I mean, even the voice pattern triggers me. But anyway, I love it about traditional Chinese medicine, because they do look at how the past brought us to where we are today.
Oh yes. To answer that beautiful question requires a little understanding, just a quick overview of Chinese medicine and autoimmune. I just want to express a few things, and then everything will make a little more sense.
There, we're right up against a quick commercial break, Dr. Tanya, and then we'll get right back. Guys, I know it's unfair to put you as a listener on that, but we got to get this quick commercial break in, and then we're going to have her beautiful overview of how this all works together as one big amazing healing. So we'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, from that quick commercial break. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're here with Dr. Tanya G, and she inspires her patients to seek health and wellness through the holistic practices of traditional Chinese medicine. She's a graduate of the International College of Traditional Chinese Medicine in Vancouver, BC, and she has just been sharing with us, first, what is traditional Chinese medicine, and the way that it differs from Western medicine, how it can complement or serve as a standalone, depending on how you view it. She's also was sharing with us right before we had to take this quick commercial break of the 4 parts of us, shall I say. I know I'm forgetting one here. There was emotional, spiritual, physical, and what am I missing?
Mental. Intellectual.
Intellectual. Mm-hmm. Well, wouldn't you know, that's the one I forget. Okay. Well, now that I've got all 4 of those, let's dive into what we were going to share about how they all work together.
Thank you, Sharon. I just wanted to just give a little value about Chinese medicine and autoimmune, because it's really amazing. Because if you think about it, traditional Chinese medicine is thousands of years old. The term autoimmune, it didn't exist. And as I was saying earlier, we didn't have, back then there was no ultrasounds, there's no blood tests. So we couldn't do the type of tests that you can do now to determine what's happening with the body. So the beauty of traditional Chinese medicine is how we diagnose and how we observe and come to those diagnoses relies on a completely different system. And the philosophy of medicine is completely different. With autoimmune disorder, they're going to send you to all the specialists, the immunologists, gastrointestinal specialists, the ear, nose, and throat, depending on what your condition is. Chinese medicine will look at you and say, okay, we are not treating the disease, the label. So if someone came in with, say, Hashimoto's, I don't treat Hashimoto's, I treat the patient. And so each individual person is diagnosed for who they are in that moment. What are they presenting? So what's exciting about our medicine is we're diagnosing every time you come in because the body constantly changes. So the key word is we treat the patient. We're not treating the illness. We're treating the patient.
I think that's what's important to, and then what I've always loved about traditional Chinese medicine, because as I've gone through my own autoimmune healing experience, I'm realizing, you know, if I just stuck with that label, and when I first presented the symptoms, the skin rashes and things, those are not part of my symptoms anymore. Those I've gone through and I've healed, as well as other things. And so I don't like to put labels on myself. Maybe that helped with the first moment of, okay, gosh, this is a big thing. Let's get our head around it. So let's label it.
Mm-hmm.
However, now that I'm into it, it really, when I'm thinking back with the original presenting symptoms, I'm not there at all. So I love that to hear that it's like, okay, where are you right now? Instead of just assuming here's your label, here's the pills that you take with that label.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, the interesting thing about Chinese medicine is the two diagnostic principles we use is tongue diagnosis and pulse diagnosis. There are 28 different ways to describe a pulse. And in our medicine, we take a pulse in both wrists. And that in itself can tell us what's happening in the body. Why? Because we are determining what the energy is doing in the body. And the energy is described as it's going through the pulse. Because every heartbeat that we have will send energy through the body. And through the pulse, we can tell you exactly what's happening to that energy. It's amazing. And they did this thousands of years ago. And the other part is the tongue diagnosis.
Which I always think is fun because I go to my traditional Chinese medicine doctor and she's always like, takes me to the window and says, now stick out your tongue.
Love that. It's amazing, isn't it? Because now, don't you see people differently now too?
Oh, absolutely.
Because the tongue can tell you everything. The tongue is an exterior and internal organ that tells us what's happening on the inside. But when I started learning tongue diagnosis, I was completely shocked. I couldn't believe it. It's something we don't really look at, but I encourage people to look at their tongue. So you can see all the different types of coatings, the different types, if there's cracks or crevices, the color and whatnot. That tells us a myriad of things that are going on in the body. Anyways, I digress because the original question was about emotions. In Chinese medicine, we completely give respect to the emotional states. And every organ of the body is in charge of keeping that emotion balanced. We'll use anger, for instance. Anger is associated with the organ liver. It's okay to have a little bit of anger, but it's not okay to have a lot of anger. And it's not okay to never have anger. So Chinese medicine is a theory of balance. When the body is balanced, it's optimal. So another emotional state is fear. And the fear is supported and controlled and kept in check by the kidneys. So it's, again, it's okay to have a little bit of fear. That's okay. Too much fear is not healthy. No fear at all, I wouldn't say it's healthy either. You got to have a little bit.
Yeah, you got to know not to step in front of that bus.
Exactly. And same with joy, Sharon. Joy is associated with the organ heart. And there is excessive joy is not good. No joy at all is not good, but you must have a little bit of joy always.
Absolutely.
And then worry. So worry is another emotional state that causes upset, and that's associated with the organ spleen. And then we have grief and sadness, which is associated with lungs. So, you know, the Chinese medicine knew that the emotional states existed and how important they were to have a proper, fulfilling life, but excess, too much of one thing, too little of another, not good. We're looking for the center, going for the middle.
Well, I love that you said that. And you said another word that I just made a note of, because I always say this, especially when I get blood tests back and you get this wide range, like you're normal and it's 50 to 150 and you're 52. And I'm like, well, that's not exactly
low on the scale.
You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm in the normal range, but let's not call it normal. You said the word optimal, and I always drive my medical professionals crazy. It's like, I don't want to be normal. I want to be optimal.
Yeah.
And they're like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about how Chinese medicine approaches this idea of what is optimal for you, which I think is so important instead of that wide range people give you.
Yeah. Well, you know, okay, in life, we need to feel that we have abundance of energy to get us through what we need to do, and also have an abundance of energy to calm the mind and to be present in life. So if you're tired all the time, you're not optimal. And if you are excessive to the point of manic, that's not optimal. That means you're burning the candle at both ends and something is being compromised. So to be optimal means that you're going to have the enough energy and then some to do what we need to be present in this world, to be balanced, to be clear. That's what we need, clarity, isn't it? And then when we have this clarity, we can make the decisions that we need to make that are healthy for us. And we have that, all of us have that internal knowing. So if we're ill, and we're not optimal, it's a much harder thing to do. And then we'll fall into the trap. I'm too tired. When you're tired, when you're sick, everything is not great. Our relationships aren't good. How we feel about ourselves aren't good. How we show up in this world isn't good. It's really important to honor ourselves and give ourselves support, loving support, encouragement. Find a team of people that work well with you. And it's honoring of all of the parts of who you are, your biology, your emotions. You have to educate yourself, intellectual. Like you, my goodness, Sharon, you are a pioneer in this autoimmune. Your show offers people choices.
Yeah, that's what
you are inspiring people.
Thank you.
Right? You're giving them facts. And on top of that, you're honoring them by being compassionate to them. You're acknowledging how emotions play a part. Western medicine, I think, is getting a little better, Sharon, don't you think?
I do.
I mean, they do see how emotional unwellness causes a stress, and stress does not help anybody. It will exacerbate all symptoms.
And anybody that has autoimmune goes, oh, you're just going, absolutely. There. One of the things I want you to touch on, because I think this is important as you build your medical team, and I know you touched on that a little bit, but people might be going, what do you mean build your medical team? Is that internal knowing and honoring that internal knowing. There are doctors that I have fired. I'm just like, you know, you may be the foremost expert here in this community on XYZ, but you know, that's just not going to work for me. And that's okay.
Good for you, Sharon. Can I just acknowledge that? Good for you. I'm going to start calling you Sharon Fire Sailor. The fire as in the element,
yes,
fire.
You know? Thank you. I take that as a great honor. And I have, my friends are probably nodding in agreement, like, oh yeah.
That's
but
great.
Let's talk a little bit about this internal knowing. And that's an important key to healing, and how doctors such as yourself work with our internal knowing to help us heal. Because I know that as much as we go to our doctors, they don't heal us. They give us great advice, but we heal ourselves, is
exactly.
My view of it.
Well, Sharon, you know, you are, again, a tremendous, great example of the internal knowing. From a feminine perspective, Sharon, it's intuition. We all have it. And I have to say, women are born with it. It's we're natural.
Well, I'd like to share, Sharon, a story about one of my patients. And it was her that inspired a slightly different mindset about healing. And her name was Allie Miracle. And she had been my patient for many years. And she was the epitome of health in my mind. She was a vegetarian and completely strong and healthy in her body. She journaled. She did yoga. She was a poet. She loved African drumming. She was a dancer. She was an absolute joy. She's a mother of two. And she was just an absolute delight. And she would come in and she was just positive and proactive. And one of her dreams was to learn French. And so at the age of 53, she jumped on a plane and went to France and started to learn French. And however, she started to feel unwell. And it got to the point where she jumped a plane and went back home. But on the flight back, and as she was landing into Vancouver Airport, she had a grand mal seizure. And they brought her to VGH, and she was diagnosed with a brain tumor, a cancerous, inoperable brain tumor. She died shortly after, about 6 months, I believe, 6 to 9 months after. And I watched her through her transition and loved her. And it shook me to the core, because I thought, how is it that someone who has done everything right according to the books could have this? And I remember holding her hand and I was crying, and I said to her, I am so saddened that you're leaving. And sorry, I'm getting emotional. And she smiled and she held my hand and she says, Tanya, do you know what the doctors told me? And I said, what? She said, they told me that my tumor was 10 years old. And I said, it's a long time. And she said, I don't believe them. And I said, why not? She goes, because I think that with all of my good health, my good lifestyle, I think my tumor was 20 years old.
Wow.
And so what she was saying was that her life and how she conducted herself in her life extended her life. When she told me this, it completely changed the way I look at illness, disease, and how we show up in this world. So it brings me back to this Buddhist teaching. The Dalai Lama talked about how we only have control over what we think, what we say, and what we do in this world. So, and you always can be loving and kind. And so what if, Sharon, it was true about Allie that because of her natural loving tendencies, she actually slowed the growth of that tumor. If that tumor was supposed to take her all those years ago, her kindness and her loving and her loving ways of thinking and compassion to herself extended her life for 10 more years. Then what a blessing. What a blessing. So when I have a patient on my table who is in anguish over their condition, we talk and I say, what if all of those good things that you have done in your life has extended your life and we still don't know how much life you have left? So why not continue to be loving and kind, not only to others, but for yourself, being so compassionate for yourself, and just be in this state of gratitude.
What a beautiful story and a beautiful concept. A couple of things came to my mind, but we need to take a really quick commercial break here, and we'll be back because I want to give plenty of time here for this thought. We'll be right back, and I'm going to ask Dr. Tanya about this idea of why it's so hard to have self-compassion. So I'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at PinkyChenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and we're talking here with Dr. Tanya Ji, and she's a traditional Chinese medicine expert. Well, I talk to people with autoimmune all the time, and one of the things that they struggle with is self-forgiveness, self-compassion, self-love, to me, it's often the most kindest, sweetest people are the hardest on themselves. And I'm fascinated by that.
I have a exercise that I inspire my patients to do in moments where there is that self-anguish or the self-doubt or the self-harming emotionally. And I like to offer them this visualization of them as a little child, say 2 years old. If we can see ourselves in our mind's eyes as a two-year-old who is crying, who is hurt, you're not going to look at that visualization of our little selves and say, suck it up. What's your problem? Can't you take care of it? Why don't you go do something? I'm busy. What's wrong with you? We would never do that with nobody, right? Our two-year-old self in front, we would pick up our two-year-old self and we would console. We would console that smaller selves, our smaller selves. We would kiss our smaller selves on the forehead. We would cuddle. Men would do the same thing. You know, it's not just women. We would just comfort, console, and protect this little self. And so when someone is crying on my table, I say, let's do a little visualization. Let's go there. And there's a softening that happens because now we're connected to that self-love. We can give and offer ourselves that love, that comfort, the protection that we find hard to do that to our adult self. But that little self is no different. It's the same spirit inside, just whispers. That's it. Doesn't have to say anything else. Doesn't have to prove anything. So,
but sometimes it's hard to access it. Sometimes it's really hard to access it, or it's fearful to access it. How many times I'm thinking where something would start to bubble up and not here, not now. And you're sort of pushing it down, you know. And instead of stuffing it or, you know, sucking it up or pushing it down, whatever the metaphor is for you.
Breathe.
I guess it's breathe. Okay. Because right now you saw me thinking, I didn't even have an emotion,
breathe.
But I stopped breathing. Isn't that fascinating?
That is, you know, what they say, life is breath. And without the breath, we extinguish life. So I know a lot of people are uncomfortable with emotions. I'm not saying you have to go out there and be every emotion you feel. But breathe, sit with it. The Buddhists talk about sitting in the fire. You're angry, sit and breathe, observe it. Allow yourself to feel the tingleness in your hands and your heart, observe it, sit in it. Don't try to distract it. Thich Nhat Hanh, who is a beautiful Zen Buddhist who is recovering from a severe stroke. He wrote a book called Anger. And he said in the first chapter, he said, our emotions are like children. We need to pay attention immediately. So if you feel anger, you don't just say, yeah, okay, anger, great. Well, I'm just gonna make a few phone calls and answer a few emails and do some laundry. And maybe watch some TV, and then maybe I'll deal with you. And he said, no, you drop what you got going right now, and you sit in it, and you pay attention. Because anger and those negative emotional states are corrosive to the mind and to the body. And it will cut off your connection to your heart, which is the entryway of your spirit. All spirit resides in your heart, and within the heart of your heart is where your infinite spirit resides. So let's be observant and let's do our diligent work in the healing process. So all chronic illness has an emotion attached to it. So let's continue to do the work to observe those emotional states. work it out. Some people want to write it all down, which is great. Some people want to do major breath work and release it. Some people want to see a counselor, release it. Good. Do whatever works with you and acknowledge it and work with it and release it. It's like a burden. Let's get that burden off. Allow your body to heal. Allow the mind to be softened. Allow the spirit to envelope you. And the thing is, our mental, the intellectual aspect, it tries to take us away from that. It tries to throw doubt in. What if? What if? Fear is not necessarily intuition. Intuition is this calmness in your heart, in your gut. It's a determination. And I think, Sharon, from chatting with you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you are going to fire a doctor, I 100% agree with you on that, because you had a response. You're like, no, it's not necessarily out of fear for you, is it? I mean,
it wasn't out of fear. I just knew.
You knew.
It's an either or. Okay. Thank you for that suggestion. That's not going to work in my life, the way I intend to live my life, regardless of my diagnosis. That is not going to work. Thank you, and have a nice life.
Good for you. You're going to inspire everyone to do that. It's important.
It is important, but you don't have to be mean. I just want to point out, when you fire a doctor, it sounds kind of rude, but it's not about screaming or yelling or anger or fear or anything. What happens to me is I take it in, I listen carefully, and I go, how is that going to work for me? It might work for 100 other patients, and I'm the 101 anomaly, where I went, the way I live and the way I want to live my life, that's not going to work. Thank you very much. And there's no hard feelings. It's just, thank you. I'll keep looking for the answer that I know internally, that I know is right for me.
Oh, that's well said. It's graciousness. You know, Chinese medicine is all about harmony. So what you're doing is creating harmony. Harmony for yourself. So if you're going to be with a doctor that... Let's see, there's some great doctors out there, Sharon, but their bedside manner is terrible. And why would we want them to touch us? Like, if we ever had to do surgery, I would want my surgeon to be calm or funny. But if they're arrogant or unwell, why would I want them to touch me? So this internal knowing, that is, internal knowing is of coming back to what is natural, coming back to what is our birthright. And Chinese medicine, Sharon, is all about harmony, harmony and balance. Everything we do is to bring the four levels of your being back into a state of harmony and balance. Our body's intelligent.
Our body is intelligent. We just have to let it work.
Yeah. And given the right components, like given the right nutrition, given the right herbs, given the right meditative practices, given the right information to satisfy the intellect, given the right sacred space for someone to feel connected to something greater than themselves, everything falls into alignment. And then from that place, my goodness, miracles happen.
And sometimes we have to give ourselves time for the miracle to happen. I can put that out there, because what I love about Chinese medicine is that deep understanding of, look, this isn't waving a magic wand or surgery. It isn't always a instantaneous fix. Give your body the space, the knowledge, and the time.
Mm-hmm. And may I also add to that beautiful statement, the miracles of healing can happen in a second in terms of what's happening right now in this moment. For instance, I know we only have a short amount of time, and to all your lovely listeners, I could go on and talk about Chinese medicine. Of course, there's a lot you can Google, but the important thing I want to say is when you do your healing, whatever it is, Sharon, if you can get to a place of calm and peace, whether it's a massage, whether it's eating the right food and you feel satiated, if you can get to this place of feeling really calm, balanced and grounded in that moment, claim it, acknowledge it, because in that moment, everything's okay. And you and I both know, because autoimmune has affected our lives, we can go into these tailspins of suffering. And then if it gets really bad, we think it's going to last forever. And then we get stuck in the story that it is forever. So to break it is to just be in this conscious moment and just take a deep breath into that conscious moment. And then you go, you know what? In this moment, everything's okay. And so from that state,
that's when I say miracles happen all the time. Because if you're in a state of suffering, if you've got some listeners who are really suffering right now, if they can take that moment out and just breathe and get to that place, we can break a cycle. So we're breaking a mental cycle of suffering. And then we can break that emotional cycle of suffering. And then in that pause, oh my goodness, the physical body will respond. If we de-stress in that moment, it will respond.
Oh, I love how you say that because I so agree. And it continues to all shift, guys. This isn't a one time you're done. This is a rinse and repeat thing. It will continue to shift for you.
Sharon, do you believe, I'm going to ask you something. I'm curious to know what you think. You know, autoimmune is definitely a challenging situation to work with, but it does come with rewards, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because of this diagnosis, think about how much you've learned. But also, I've just met you, and I think you're amazing. I think you're incredibly conscious.
Thank you.
Like, this condition does not rule you. I think that you've become, from reading your bio, you've become extremely powerful, more powerful in your awareness of who you are because of this.
Absolutely. Thank you for honoring that and speaking that. It's true. People often say, don't you just wish you could turn back the time to your old life? And no, absolutely not. Just as a real surface type of level, because I want to have time to have the audience know more about you, but is when I think about that, well, the one thing that often comes to mind is I'm a much nicer person than I was before.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And that's a
huge that's
gift.
Great.
It's radically changed my life in so many positive ways. It's and in one of the gifts was in having to slow down. That was a huge gift.
That's the truth. Oh, Sharon, so true. I think that's most of the patients that I see. They'll agree with you 100%. Their lives were going too fast, their minds are going too fast, overstimulated, and then reached a point of burnout and bam. Illness.
Exactly. And I have to say, though, if you ever get the glory of having a grandchild or being around a small person, the one thing that in this space now of knowing how to slow down is just enjoying what I call the young people's insatiable curiosity and amusement of life. If you can just put yourself into their amusement of the amusement of it all, it's so wonderful for me.
Seeing the world through the eyes of a child.
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Tanya, we are just about out of time, and I want the audience to know more, how to find out more about you and your amazing work. So please share with us some of the stuff that you do and how that people can find out more about you, what your website is, and all that good juicy stuff.
Well, first of all, thank you, Sharon. The time was too short. I loved it. And anybody can reach me anytime at drtanyag.com. It's very simple. Dr. Tanya G, my full name, .com.
Well, let's spell the G-E-E out so they know that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So my website is drtanyag.com,
right.
TanyaG.com. Again, 22 years of practice. I love people. I just love. Love is the power. Please reach out. I love getting emails. You can ask me any questions, anytime.
And she's available over the, you know, over the phone and that kind of thing too. So you don't have to live in Vancouver, BC to take advantage of her amazing skill set, guys. You can just be sure and visit Dr. Tanya G, and it's G-E-E. I know it sounds just like one letter, but
the letter.
But spell out her whole name, G-E-E. It's been my pleasure to have you on, and thanks for sharing about traditional Chinese medicine, and I encourage you to explore it and see if it's right for you. And it's one of those things, like, you'll know whether it's right for you or not at this time. And it may not be right at this time. It may be right in the future. Who knows? So just keep an open mind about your healing process and honor that. Thank you so much, Dr. Tanya. Everyone, have a great weekend. Whatever your adventures, join me next Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for another great episode, as well as join me over on Facebook at facebook.com/lifeinterruptedradio, or the website where you can get transcripts and all other sorts of goodies and listen to the past shows as well. And that's over at www.lifeinterruptedradio.com. As always, enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.